God is weaving together the apparently unrelated events of history into a meaningful pattern.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
You and I ought to have a reverence for and an ear attuned to what God has said, both in the Scriptures and in the incarnate Son of God. You and I ought to have a reverence for and an ear attuned to what God has said. There are two facets of God's revelation presented in Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 to 3. And God is saying, I want you to listen to what I've said, not only with your head, but with your heart, not only academically, but spiritually. I want you to be responsive. I want you to be not only a hearer, but a doer of my words. And then he gives us two facets of his revelation presented in this passage. First, very simply in terms of the outline, it seems to me that these two facets could be identified in this way. Number one, there's the former revelation. That's verse 1. And then secondly, there is the final revelation. And that's what God has to say, or that's what God unfolds in verses 2 and 3. And he's spoken to us finally and ultimately and completely in his Son. Now, in terms of the former revelation in verse 1, there are really two ideas there that I think are significant. Number one, it's personnel. God spoke by the prophets. That's the personnel of that former revelation. And then the properties of that former revelation in sundry times and in divers manners or in many parts and in many ways. Two Greek words side by side, meaning in many parts and in many ways. It was absolutely true, but it was not final. So you have, first of all, the former revelation, a beautiful, a powerful message, a true message, but fragmentary and incomplete until the Lord Jesus Christ came. Then you have the final revelation. And that final revelation is unfolded in verses 2 and 3. And as I look at those verses, there are two ideas that stand out to me. Number one is a contrast here. Very simply, just at the beginning, there is a contrast. And then secondly, there is a characterization. And it's a six-fold characterization of the Son of God, God's final word to humanity. There is, first of all, a contrast. God hath in these last days spoken unto us by Son. Do you notice in the King James Version, his is italicized? It means it's not there in the Greek New Testament. He has spoken unto us by Son. The word Son is anarthros. That means it's without the definite article. It emphasizes the quality of sonness. God's final revelation, God's ultimate word to humanity is a Son revelation, and it stands in open contrast and in infinite superiority to the revelation which came through the mortal prophets. God did speak through the mortal prophets, and each of them had something significant and powerful and relevant to say, but God spoke finally and ultimately through his own Son. And there is no comparison between a mortal prophet and the Son of God. It means that Jesus Christ is God's final word to humanity, and it means that his coming is an act of incredible condescension and unconquerable love. So he gives that contrast. God in the former days spoke by the prophets, but he has in these last days spoken unto us in a Son revelation. But now he gives us, so we'll understand it and appreciate it even more fully, he gives us not only this contrast in verses 2 and 3, but a characterization in the latter part of verse 2 and also in verse 3. And in so doing, he's sharing with us the absolute supremacy of this revelation. It's laid out very clearly before us. And there's a six-fold characterization. I wonder if you can see it with me quickly. As I look at this characterization of the Son, it's no wonder that God's people throughout the ages have always been enamored with Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There's nobody like Jesus Christ. And the author of Hebrews makes that very clear in this passage. As I look at that sixfold characterization, this is what I see about Jesus Christ, God's final word to humanity. Number one, I see his prosperity. He's appointed heir of all things. He is the heir of all things. I see his prosperity. Number two, I see his power, by whom also he made the worlds. Number three, I see his perfections. Who being? What is he being? He is the brightness of his glory and the express image, the exact imprint, the exact reduplication of his person, his perfections. Number four, I see his preservation. He is upholding all things by the word of his power. Number five, I see his purification. He himself purged our sins. Number six, I see his promotion. When he had done that, the Bible says he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now let's look at these for a moment. Number one, his prosperity. He's been appointed the heir of all things. And that word heir carries with it at least two basic ideas. Number one, the idea of legality. He has a legal right to inherit the universe, legality, and also the idea of futurity. He hasn't yet fully inherited it. Look at his prosperity. He's appointed heir of all things. But then secondly, he says, look at his power, by whom also he made the worlds. And I believe that's an expression of the creative power and the creative genius of God's Son. And it is an affirmation of his indisputable deity. Only God could do that, by whom also he made the worlds. And then thirdly, he describes him in terms of his perfections. Do you notice? Not only his prosperity, he's appointed heir of all things. Not only his power, by whom also he made the worlds. But then thirdly, his perfections. Who being two things. Do you notice? Jesus Christ is number one, the brightness of his glory. And he is number two, the express image of his person, the exact reduplication of his substance, of the divine substance, is literally what that means. He's the brightness of his glory. That word brightness means radiance. It means the ray from an original body of light. As the ray of sunlight is part and parcel of the sun, you cannot separate the ray from the body of sun. So Christ is part and parcel of the Godhead. Jesus Christ is the shining of God's glory among men. That's what the author of Hebrews says. He's the brightness, the ray, the effulgence, the radiance of God's glory, the stuff of deity. And also, he's the express image of his person. And that word means literally the exact imprint, the precise reduplication or expression of something. As the imprint of the die perfectly represents the original design, so in Jesus Christ there is the display of God's very essence. His person means his substance. There is the display of God's very essence or substance. You know, our English word, by the way, this word express image is charakter, is the Greek word. And we get our English word character from it. And our English word character describes the sum total of what we are, our distinctive qualities. That's what character is. Our character is the sum total of what we are, our distinctive qualities. And that's what Jesus Christ is with respect to the Father. Jesus Christ is the sum total of what God is. He is not less than God. He is not inferior to God. He is equal with God. And when you look at Jesus, you're looking right up into the very face of God. Jesus is God in focus for humanity. He's the express image of his substance, his essence, and his person. And then fourthly, the author of Hebrews speaks not only of the Son's prosperity and power, not only of his perfections, there are many ideas here, great theological ideas, but also, number four, of his preservation. The Scripture says that he is upholding all things. Jesus Christ is upholding all things by the word of his power. That word upholding means, pharaon is the Greek word, pharaoh or pharaon. It means literally to carry and to bring. It means to hold on to something and transport it to another place. It's literally what it means, to hold on to and to transport to another place. And what that means is that Jesus Christ is not only the creator of all things, he's the carrier of all things. It means practically that he sustains the material universe in its existence and its operation. Jesus Christ sustains the material universe in its existence, in its operation. And beyond that, that he carries the moral universe forward toward God's consummating goals. Jesus Christ, the author of Hebrews says, it's a tough concept, but it's a very precious concept. Jesus Christ is the unseen and sovereign hand by which God is weaving together the apparently unrelated events of history into a meaningful pattern, a pattern which is moving relentlessly forward toward the establishment of God's kingdom on earth, which is the ultimate goal of history. Jesus Christ is God's unseen hand weaving those apparently unrelated events of history together into a meaningful pattern and carrying it forward until the actual an ultimate establishment of God's kingdom on earth. And we're told how he does that. Do you notice? He's upholding, that is, sustaining the material universe and carrying the moral universe forward toward God's consummating goals. We're told that he does that by the word of his power. What does that mean? By the word of his power. It means that God's unfaltering, living, and dynamic word will ultimately be fulfilled in the framework of human history. It means that God's principles and God's prophecies will be the regulating factors in the movement of history. Our words, any man's words, are at best legislative. His word is executive. He speaks and it is done. In creation, he said, light be, and light was. And in the unfolding of God's entire redemptive plan in history, the same authoritative and omnipotent word prevails. He upholds, he sustains the material universe, and he carries forward the moral universe toward the establishment of God's goals on earth. And he does it by his omnipotent word, as he spoke the created universe into being, so his word carries out the will of God on the face of the globe. And then number five, do you see with me here? Not only his prosperity and his power, his perfections and his preservation, upholding all things by the word of his power, but you see as well his purification. By himself, he purged our sin. That's a precious truth.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
Jesus Christ is the chief executive of the spiritual, the moral, and the material universe. He has demonstrated his merit.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.